Satchel. Could you go?
Right, what now?
Brian Satchel.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Tell me once again, what is your name once again, sir? I'll get it.
Brian Satchel.
Okay, just hold on. The Honorable Mr. Johnson is going to conduct your hearing, sir. So just hold on.
Okay.
So give me just 1 minute. I just need to complete some paperwork. Okay, so you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir?
It is a PO. This is same
here. So show me the bottom, sir.
Is there a lawsuit somebody here?
Okay.
So you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. But prior to that, sir, could you please state your full name and the ADC number for us for the record?
Brian Andrew Satchel, number 264-363.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead today, sir. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Turner, sir. I do want to let you know that we also have your parole officer here.
Cheryl.
Cheryl. What's your last name?
Yeah, and I'm not his parole officer. I'm one of the supervisors in the office.
Okay. So we do have Officer Warner, who's one of the parole officers, a supervisor and a parole officer that's also here today, too, sir. So prior to your hearing today, Mr. Satchel, you received and you signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney to represent you at your own expense, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself today.
Okay. Well, sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you along with the two parole officers in, okay? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
I do.
Okay. So your hearing is going to be conducted in 2 phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out with phase one. You have one allegation listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read you the allegation, Mr. Satchel, I need you to say whether the allegation is true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir? Okay. So the allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to sign Arizona conditions of supervision on or about December 14, 2018, as verbally directed on December 14, 2018. Sir, is that true or false? Okay. So given that you stated that's false, we're going to go to the parole officer to get some additional information. So if you would just hang on in there, Mr. Turner?
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 12-14-2018, the offender reported to the severe mental illness parole office as directed. The offender had recently been transferred to CCO Waite's caseload from South Mountain Parole Office. CCO Stephen Waite and CCO Senior Ginter were speaking with offender Brian Satchel, number 264-363, concerning his court-ordered mental health treatment. The offender has not been going to his treatment, and he was being staffed and directed to sign conditions to follow the court order. CCS Supervisor Fleshman came into the area due to the offender's voice becoming loud, along with being agitated and belligerent. CCO Senior Ginter explained to the offender that community correction staff have to abide by the court order directing the offender to take his mental health medication. CCO Waite directed the offender to sign new conditions of supervision to follow the directives of the court order to take his medication. The offender claimed he was not going to sign his conditions and that we, as parole staff, cannot make him sign his conditions or take his mental health medication. CCO Senior Ginter explained to the offender that if he refused to sign his conditions of supervision, it is a violation of his supervision parole and we would have to take him back into custody. It was also explained to the offender that community correction staff would like to work with the offender in the community to see him successfully reintegrate into the community. The offender stated he was not going to sign his conditions and he was not going back to prison. CO2 Transportation Officer William Cohen arrived in the area along with other staff members as the offender's voice and demeanor has escalated to the point of causing concern in the building. The offender refused again to sign his condition. CCS Supervisor Fleshman advised the offender he was under arrest for parole violation by not signing and abiding by his conditions of supervision. CO2 Cohen and CCO Waite assisted the offender to his feet to place hand restraints on him. The offender became passive-aggressive and pulled both arms into his chest and linked his hands together. CCS Fleshman drew his X2 taser, armed it, and warned the offender if he did not comply and place his hands behind his back, he would be tased. The offender did not comply. CCS Fleshman pressed the ARC button on the X2 taser as a warning and not actually deploying of the taser. The offender still did not comply. CCS Fleshman gave the offender another warning. If he did not comply and stop resisting, he would be tased, and pressed the ARC button a second time. The offender did not comply. CCS Fleshman then pulled the trigger on his X2 taser, however, it was ineffective. CO2 Cohen drew his X2 taser and deployed a cartridge into the offender. The offender locked up and was taken to the ground by CS Supervisor Foote, CCO Mark Adams, and CCO Waite. Officers assisting were able to place one of the offender's hands into hand restraints, but he was still resisting on the second armed hand. CO2 Cohen gave the offender a warning to submit to handcuffs or he would be tased again. CO2 Cohen hit the ARC button, which re-energized the darts already deployed into the offender for about 2 seconds, which allowed officers to get the second arm and hand under control and placed in hand restraints. The offender continued to resist and fight with all parties involved. CCS Fleshman placed leg restraints on the offender. The offender was physically assisted to his feet and he was being escorted to the transportation vehicle by CCO Adams and CCO Waite. During the escort, the offender became physically resistant to walking by stomping his feet and using the strength of his legs and attempt to place his body back on the ground. The offender was assisted to the ground by CCO Waite and CCO Adams. CO2 Cohen assisted CO Waite, CO Adams, and CCS Foote in lifting the offender and was carried out of the office by staff and placed in the transportation vehicle due to his refusal to cooperate. The offender was then transported to ARTC by transportation, CO2 Cohen, and CCO Van Gundy.
Okay, what's not true about that, sir? Did you refuse to sign the documentation?
No, we're in the middle of discussing my mental health issue about the medication. I can't take the medication. I was allergic to it. I'll tell them I never refused to sign nothing. We're still talking about my medication. I'm trying to get new medication.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and move this on to phase two so that we can further discuss it, okay? So, based on the information contained in round number 2018W3630 and the information from the parole officer, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Sapter was delinquent as he violated the terms, conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapses about the lapse into criminal ways for our company.
Second. Agreed.
Agreed. Okay, motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright. Agreed. Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two if you can. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to go over some information with you, sir, and then give you the opportunity to present any information that you would like to present to the board that's relevant to this, and also see if parole officer Ginter has anything that she wants to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Satchel was released from ADC custody on 9-11-2018 and arrested on 12-14-2018 by ADC on a tech violation. No new charges are noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 12-14-2018 with a CSED of 5-11-2020-0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2007, commitment A, count 1, armed robbery, 5 years. 2007, commitment B, count 1, armed robbery, 5 years. 2010, theft, means of transportation, 10 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted, and he has no prior terms in supervision. Disciplinary is moderate with disorderly conduct, forgery, and drugs noted. Other arrest, 2011, DUI liquor, drugs, and vapors combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2011, hit and run with injuries, Arizona felony conviction probation. He has a GV score of G5, V6.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. So, sir, I see that the mayor released you to approve reside at 16030 South 32nd Place in Phoenix. Really looks like on October 5th, your sponsor stated that she didn't want to defend or live with them anymore due to the aggressive behavior, to include pushing her over into a bar. That says that you were placed at Desert Vista Behavior Health Center on October 11th, then on October 19th, you were given permission to move to 5213 West Pedro Lane in Levine, and you didn't have any other address that you were requested to live at. So who was it that you first stayed with at 16130 South 32nd Place? Whose house was that?
That's my sister.
That was your sister's house? Okay, then you went to Desert Vista Behavior House. Then you went to 5213 West Pedro Lane. Whose address was that?
That's my other sister.
You went to stay with your other sister? Okay.
Yeah.
So were you working during any part of that time, sir?
Yeah, I was working at building store, commercial cleaning, and I lost my job when I went to the hospital.
Okay. So that you were assigned the task, VIN, the day program, you failed to provide a sample for testing when the van was called on October 29th, November 8th, November 30th, and December 6th. You provided a sample for testing that was positive for THC on November 15th. Why did you not go take any UAs, sir?
I didn't know I had to take them due to
the
medication I was taking. It was causing me to be building, like my rest of my personality and everything. I wasn't myself at that time. Uh-huh. And that's what kind of like the medication, it was having me have a virtual reaction to it. And that THC, when I had my medical card.
Did you get it approved by the PO before you started smoking?
Yeah, well, I thought it was approved. Well, he told me everything about it, so I assumed it was approved already.
Okay. So let me see if the board has any additional questions. So no additional questions come from the board. Mr. Turner, do you and Ms. Gamer have anything else you want to add to it?
We have a short video. The board would like to see it, but it's of the behavior after he was tased on his way to the transportation vehicle. But I actually was present. I'm the one that actually took the video. He was acting aggressively. He was refusing orders and actually had to be carried out after he stopped halfway out the building, trying to stop from being taken back.
Yeah. I think it's evident in here that there was some resistance and things that happened. So I would take it, Mr. King.
I was just going to say I would take that over thing too, because I don't think he could see the video anyway. So
yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So Mr. Sato, why did you become so resistant when I had to be tased when you didn't sign your form? I do understand that you said that you were it made you sick, but why did you become so violent, sir?
I wasn't thinking I would become violent. I just didn't understand why I was getting detained in the first place, because I thought we were going to discuss my medication history. Like the psychiatrist, she told me that if I had problems with the medication, to inform my PO first, and then for them to get it transferred over, give me a different medication. Yeah. And that's why I didn't understand what was going on. That's why I was asking my wife, what did I do? But it wasn't like I wasn't. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the only situation where it was about the medication. I told him I couldn't take it because of how it was making me feel. I wasn't able to be myself or none of that. I was trying to tell him I just wanted a different medication. I wasn't trying to refuse or nothing. I wasn't getting in no trouble out there. I didn't have no police contact or none of that. I didn't, wasn't.
So, they were just trying to explain to you that you had a court order to take medication, and they were trying to get you to sign a new court order to take medication. The parole officers...
Not a new court order, just sign his conditions.
Okay, sign your conditions. And so the parole officers can't, they can't prescribe you medication, so only your doctor can do that. So they couldn't change your medication. They would just have to have your conditions signed that you have to, take your medication. Again, sir, let me see if the board has any additional questions. How are you doing on the medication now, sir?
They put me on new medication, Letrogene, that said, because last one I was having a allergic reaction to, so they put me on the new medication. I'm good with this one. Like this one, I'm being straight, I'm being myself more. It was just that other one, it was just too negative for me. It was just causing, it was a negative vibe in me. I didn't like it. It wouldn't work for me.
When you were staying with your other sister, when she said you were coming too progressive and you pushed her against the wall, why did you do that?
I never pushed her in. I don't remember pushing her into the wall. I never put my hands on my sisters. The reason she tried to get me into the hospital without telling me I can't take no medication, so they had to find a real reason to get me into the hospital. Because they had the people come down there, but they said they, if there's nothing, I'm not acting aggressive, then they had no real reason to take me. So she had to find a reason. So my mom, like, they come see me, everything's good.
All right, so we're going to go into discussion. A lot of boards in discussion, so I'm going to ask you, stay on the phone so you can hear the conversation taking place, and then we'll make a decision whether we revoke or reinstate the community supervision. But prior to going into discussion, I'm going to take in some more information from Mr. Turner.
Yeah, so there's one OMS note I'd like to read. Prior, the same day, prior to him coming in that afternoon, CCO8 was attempting to contact the offender, who wasn't answering his phone. He actually did receive a phone call from the offender's sponsor, Curtis, stating the offender is still living at his house, but only sporadically. They leave for 3 to 4 days at a time. He has no idea where he goes, doesn't know where the offender was at or what he's doing.
Okay. All right, so the board's going to go into discussion. We'll make a determination. The board's not going into discussion. Apparently, Mr. Satchel has taken medication for some issue. He has a court order to take him. It's probably just conditions he had to take that, and apparently he does have some type of violent streak that he has when maybe he's off his medications. I don't really know, but it appears that at this current time that he's on a different medication, that he's doing well. I think that it would be best for, if he's doing well on his medication, for him to stay incarcerated. He will be released in a few months. May 11th of 2020. So that's my opinion. I'm willing to listen to the rest of colleagues. Seeing no comments coming from the colleagues, and I'm a mail to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Satchel, find that he was a delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision. He had lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways or company, as he did have a positive UA for marijuana, although he said he has a card. We didn't know if that was approved or not, and that he refused to sign his documentation that he needed to sign in the parole office, and he had to be forcibly removed and tased because of his resistance while in the office. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Hill. Okay, Mr. Satchel, so the board voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on May 11th of 2020. At that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision, so hopefully, you know, take this time that you have in there, sir, to just take some time, get yourself together, get fully stabilized on your medication, see if there's any program that when you're released that you can get into, sir, but hopefully you won't have any more negative contacts with law enforcement, sir, or ever have to come back before this board again. Mr. Satchel, thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Could you either put the CO3 on the phone or set the phone down so the next person could come in?
Okay.